Hello again, friends. Welcome. Colin Cook here, a voice for those who have no voice, my friend. This is How It Happens, a broadcast on the grace of God to men and women in conflict with various addictions. What we're doing this week is looking at the three factors that constitute addictions. We've finished the book of Romans for the moment. We will then return to it in a week or two. And in the meantime, we're going to look at these addiction issues from a psychological perspective. This is not separate from the spiritual factors. It's simply helping the spiritual realities of the gospel. It's simply helping you to see the issue from another angle. Now, I've talked about this. I started to talk about this third issue yesterday, this third factor, which is escapes from pain. Remember the three factors: spiritual delusions, emotional wounds in childhood, escapes from pain. Those three factors. We're now looking at the third factor, escapes from pain. Let me remind you what this pain is all about, just briefly, because I want then to talk about what we do with it by in the escaping from it. The pain is the disconnectedness, the absence of bonding, the feeling that you are in a room full of people and a total stranger, the feeling that you are not connected, you are isolated, you are alone. Of course, all of these feelings have other concomitant feelings with them. For example, to feel unbonded is to feel a certain degree of shame. There is not necessarily any logical shame, any rational reason for shame. It is simply that one feels inferior. If a child has had the experience where a parent has not been there for him, has not loved him or has abused him or her, then that child is going to ask himself, what's wrong with me? What did I do wrong? Why didn't my parents love me? I mustn't be very nice. I must be a bad person. And so there is an intrinsic shame in the child or the person who is not bonded that he carries through life. That shame, of course, is attended by false guilt. For the child did nothing intrinsically wrong, morally wrong, but the parent failed, or some abuser failed. So there is guilt and there is shame. And of course, along with that, there is fear. Fear of what? Fear that people will really know us for what we are if we should get very close. Fear that once we are known for who we are, we will not be loved. And so the guilt and the shame and the fear cause this person to close up, to hide away from the world. But such a state of being is utterly tormenting. We can't live like that. It's too painful. And so we escape from that pain by addictions, by behaviors that enable us to forget for a period of time, whether it's drink, drugs, alcohol, food issues, other escapes. And don't forget that obsessive work habits, where some people work 18 hours a day and come home only to sleep, leaving their family bereft of their presence or their relationship, that's an addiction too, because that person is equally afraid of relating. There's no condemnation in what I say here, my friend. I am not pointing out a particular group of people that are worse than others. The fact is, what I have said time and again on this broadcast, the fact is that everyone has an addiction, is in a state of flight from God, escape from pain in one way or another. Now, I said that I was simply going to highlight or point out what that pain was and is, but not primarily for talking about it itself. I've spent a little bit of time talking about that in the broadcasts in the last week or two. What I want to talk about now is what methods we use to escape from pain. Well, my friend, deception is at the top of the list. Deception is at the top of the list. Can I say that to you without your feeling guilty? Look, we have guilt. We know guilt. I'm not trying to say that guilt is wrong. It's a natural response to wrongdoing. It's a healthy human response to wrongdoing. But we can't live with guilt. We can't function with it. We can't grow with it. That's why we need the atoning work of Jesus Christ. I need to know, you need to know, all of us need to know that our sins, our broken down humanity is placed upon Jesus Christ, who took it for us, who was punished for us, and therefore there is now no condemnation for those who trust in Jesus Christ. That's Romans 8, verse 1. I need to know that so that I can face myself, you see. The fact is that deception is necessary for a person in addiction. Why is it necessary? Because, you see, my heart is so full of shame and guilt and fear. I can't possibly expose my heart to all my friends, to all the world, to everybody around me. Certainly I need to expose it and open it up to God, who will not shame me. But human beings do not have the capacity to hear it all. They don't have the love that is needed. Yes, certain support groups can help, but a support group will never do what only God can do for you. God himself can take everything that is shameful about you, or all of your fears of your shame, all of your guilt, and he can handle it without shaming you. The good news about our Heavenly Father and Jesus our Savior is that they do not shame us, and the Holy Spirit does not shame you either, my friend. He is your comforter and your supporter. But you can see why deception is necessary. If I feel the black dog of depression, if I cannot function a lot of my life, I wouldn't want to tell everybody about that. I have to find a private, quiet, secret way of handling it, if I don't know a healthy way of handling it, right? If I do not know the better ways of handling my depression, I can't simply live with that depression. I've got to escape it, and so I must escape it in private ways that nobody else knows about. Then, of course, if my addiction involves someone else, then it may be necessary to deceive that person in order to get my way with her or him. It may be necessary to have a hidden agenda that I don't want that person to know anything about. Now, I may have done this exercise or used this hidden agenda for so many years, I don't even realize it's deception anymore. This, of course, is where your journal comes in. You might say to yourself, you might ask yourself, in what ways do I deceive in order to get my needs met? Now, put a quotation behind those needs, because, of course, we're talking now about false needs. Remember that psychological addiction is a false need. The idea that I need alcohol, or I need sex addiction, or I need drugs is a false need. There is a real need, that is the emotional wounds that have led me to fail to bond, the spiritual delusions that have led me to fail to be able to bond to God. That's a real need. I need bonding with my Heavenly Father. I need bonding with friends, and I need fellowship with them. I need intimacy. That's a real need. But an addiction is a false need. Remember that we have real needs, but we seek for a false solution. And the false solution, though, has become so urgent and so necessary that I must deceive in order to try to get it if it involves another person, or I must be private and secretive if it involves simply myself without having to tell other people. Again, how can I say that to you without shaming you? Listen, I'm simply another human being like you. I have my deceptions. I have my secrets. I have my addictive struggles. All human beings have a deceptive way with them. That is the meaning, my friend, of the fig leaves in the book of Genesis chapter 3. I cannot reveal my true self to another human being. I cannot be known fully for who I am. All this talk about we need to really be known fully for who we are in support groups is nonsense. Now, I do not deny that a support group where you become vulnerable is helpful to you. I do not deny that. But true vulnerability can only happen in the presence of God, for God is the only one who is truly safe. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so what I would encourage you to do when you start your journal or when you open up your journal is tell the Lord how deceptive you are. Don't bash yourself. Don't try to condemn yourself before God. Don't try to impress him by how clever you are at making yourself guilty, because all of that is really a denial of the cross. You don't have to prove anything to God about your deception. You simply are unveiling it. Actually, that's the meaning of the word to confess. To confess does not actually mean to give something up or to repent. It's just the first stage. It means to acknowledge, to open it up. And that's what we do in prayer, in conversation with God, in our journals, if you like, and if you want to do it in the presence of another person, all well and good. That can help. But remember that our God is the one that we open up our deceptions to. And in the process of doing this, my friend, I urge you to make a distinction between what is secret and what is private. I would like to make the distinction that secretive things are what we do that are sinful and we're really ashamed of and we shouldn't be doing, but we do them anyway. That is secretive. But what is private, there are certain private things that we do that are not shameful, though we have maybe accrued a lot of false shame around them. They are private, they are personal, and nobody else has any business knowing about them. Make that distinction so that you know where your personal sort of core center is that people have no right to intrude in and where you are free to talk to other people about it. So you can see how I'm linking all of this issue up with your journal. Write that journal, my friend. It is like a breath of fresh air into your soul. Now, my friend, to help you along with this exploration of yourself, I have a special program that I'm announcing. It is a 7-week group, let's not call it psychotherapy, group sessions from the 16th of April, that's the day after tax day, Thursday, the 16th of April, every Thursday through the rest of April, all through May, till the end of May, 7 weeks for you. No more than 10 people. No less than 10 people can come to my house at that Thursday, the first Thursday, at 7 in the evening till 8:30 at night, and this will be group, let's not call it psychotherapy. I don't call it psychotherapy because I'm not a licensed counselor or registered in the state of Colorado, but I can do much more than psychotherapy, my friend, because it is really spiritual counseling, faith training, and it's the exploration of your problems. What we do is the 10 of us get together. The first night, maybe two people open up their lives, and I help them, I counsel them, I guide them through, I help them to explore their lives, I help them to get insights into what's going on with their issues, I help them to see how that the escape that they're into now is a pain that they had when they were children, and I help them to unfold that. Others are listening in at the same time and learning from your life, your experience, and then the next week you are learning from their lives as they open up and all down the line. So, if you wish to attend this every Thursday night, it's $20 per Thursday night, 7 weeks, $720 worth. And it is, you must register for it. You have to, the final registration, the close of registration is the 24th of this month. So call me at 303-738-8694 to register. 303-738-8694 to register. I'll see you next time, my friend. God bless.